You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, all summer here on the programme, we are celebrating Irish food producers, and I cannot believe my luck today that we are celebrating cheese. And of all of the foods in the world, cheese is my favourite. And we do it really well in this country. I'm joined by Kevin Sheridan from Sheridan's Cheese, Michael Finnegan from Boyne Valley Cheese, and Gypsy Gifford from Leitrim Hill Creamery. You're all so very welcome to the programme, and I have a fabulous plate of cheese in front of me. I'm going to start with you first, Michael. You're a third generation farmer. You were working in cattle and tillage.
Yep.
And then you got a few goats.
We did.
And things changed.
We did indeed. Yeah, no, we got into the goats about 2008 to a supplier co-op. And cause I'm a farmer first and foremost. And then, of course, the recession hit, as we all know, and the milk price got kind of volatile. So I said, you know what, I'll put some of my goat milk into a product of our own. And we started off with the blue goat cheese, Boyne Valley Blue, because there was none kind of no blue goat cheese in the country. And basically things kind of went well. And then we had a second cheese, which is Boyne Valley Bon, which is kind of like a French Tom style. And now we have a third cheese, like a kind of a Manchego style, a hard mature. So, yeah, it's gone well.
It's gone well is a bit of an understatement, because you've left the cows behind.
Cows, well, we still have a few beef cattle and we still have corn on the farm, but definitely the goats and the cheese is what's making the whole kind of farm operation, you know, viable.
And did you have any experience in cheese making?
None at all. I loved eating it.
Man after my own heart.
I loved food. My mum and my wife are great cooks. So, and I did knew a lot of kind of farmers who were in the kind of food side of things. And it just made sense to, I had all this milk and I knew it was great quality milk. We've got, you know, lovely fields with great grass and which turns into great milk. So that just makes great cheese.
And how did you know there was this gap in the market with blue goat's cheese? Did you go off and research this, or were you such a cheese connoisseur yourself that you'd been waiting for this product?
Well, the man across me there, Kevin, obviously you speak to Kevin and people in the industry that say, you know, there's very little of this, especially with my second cheese, the Boyne Valley Bon. I was saying to Kevin, I'd love to make a non-blue, and Kevin was saying, you know, he was bringing in this cheese from France, a French Tom style, and he said, if you can make that, if you make your blue a bit smaller, take out the blue cheese, the blue out of it, and press it a bit, it'll turn it like this cheese that we import from France, and if you can make it, we'll buy it, and that's what happened.
There must be a great sense of satisfaction for you, I would imagine, Michael, because you grow the grass, you bring the goats, you milk the goats, and then you make the cheese. So you're there literally the entire process.
It's a complete circular process. And that's whenever I have people on the farm, I always say it's like I'm the real farmhouse cheese. Like that we are. We're growing the grass, we're milking the goats, and we're making the cheese all on the same plates. And like the rest of us will say here, it's so important. It's food from the area, you know, from the Boyne Valley. And all of us, kind of all our cheesemakers around the country, we're all making food from our area. You know, it's very important.
That is absolutely delicious. I'm sorry, folks, if you can hear me eating, but I just couldn't resist. I love goat's cheese. I don't mind strong goat's cheese, but I think it puts a lot of people off. But that's quite mild.
Yeah, and that's why I think my one in particular is popular. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like goat's cheese because it can be too strong. But actually, if the milk is really fresh, you know, if you've got a good herd of goats, you know, the cheese will, you know, be not too strong.
My producer has just texted me, small bite skier. I forgot about that. Okay, or just wait maybe until 12 o'clock, but I'm not going to be able to. I want to bring you in, Kevin, because I said about the cheese industry here in Ireland, but when you started, back in 1995 with your brother, was there an industry at all? Was there a market?
Yes and no. I mean, actually, one of the cheeses you've got there in front of you is Coulet, the sort of darker one there. And
that's this the Williams one, family, the harder, slightly harder cheese.
Yeah, they were making cheese since the 70s, you know. So there was this almost underground, overground sort of community that had started in the 70s and 80s, and they were making cheese. Most of it was actually being exported to the UK, and the UK were great. Some of the cheesemongers over there were really great at supporting the cheesemakers. But in Ireland, it wasn't really, like in 95 when we started off, I didn't have a clue. Our customers didn't have a clue. But I found the cheesemakers, they sent us the cheese, and literally on a market stall, we just started tasting together. And it was this sort of discovery of how wonderful this Irish food is. Because if you think back to then, our Irish food culture, you know, we really didn't believe in it. You know, we didn't believe that we produced anything of any worth in terms of food. And the cheesemakers really, more than anybody else, turned that around. And now it's a point where one thing I love is that we have second generation, third generation customers who have grown up with just eating Irish farmers' cheese. It's like it's this normal thing, and it's wonderful.
So you say you hadn't a clue.
And
I presumed
clue,
you must have grown up in a home that was way ahead of its time, spent summers in France tasting cheeses.
Summers in Donegal, and there wasn't much cheese being made up there, I can tell you. But no, it was really, you know, I went to art college and I just happened to cook my way through that to earn some money and just got into food and then just was, you know, came across some cheeses, and Borbia had released a little leaflet with the names and phone numbers of every cheesemaker in Ireland. So I picked up the phone and rang them, and they posted us up the cheese and set up a stall in Galway. Something to do for the summer, 31 years ago.
Did it take off pretty quickly? Did you see
what
there was a market
what
there?
What I noticed
that
was that people were interested. It was that in the mid-90s, you know, that was sort of when Ireland was, you know, people started going on holidays, so they'd, we had some customers who'd gone to a market in France or something, so they recognised it as something that you could do. So it was, I think it was good timing. But yeah, people were enthusiastic to discover something Irish and to be proud. It was a time when people were really looking to be proud to be Irish, and there was a kind of growing confidence. And yeah, like, look, the quality of the product being made, it wouldn't happen unless that was happening, unless cheesemakers like these guys were making incredibly great foods. That's what made it work.
And is that coming because of our grass, because of our climates,
We've always had all that. Mm. I suppose it's an interesting story in terms of a lot of story of food. When you look at any country, it's a story of immigration as well, of changing culture. So you had a lot of people move from the continent, like the Willems moved over from the Netherlands, kind of, you know, with a good life kind of mentality, bought a few acres. And Helen had two young kids, and they're from the Netherlands, so they're used to eating cheese every day, and she couldn't get any. So she said, well, I'll just start making cheese in the kitchen in a saucepan. And that's what she did, and she started selling some to her friends. And that's the story of most of the, you know, that generation of cheesemakers from the 70s and 80s, is they just started making literally in a saucepan, but in the kitchen. So they, a lot of them brought knowledge from abroad, and then other Irish people started to learn from them, and it just kind of grew from there.
Let me bring you in, Gypsy, because I was on your website last night, and Kevin there was talking about the good life, and it was your mum, Lisa, who really did come to Ireland in search of the good life.
In search of the good life, and to really close the loop on her grandparents had left Ireland in the late 1800s. And so she, our whole life, you know, talked about wanting to have a piece of land back in Ireland for the family, given that that was a piece of our heritage that was lost. And she'd been over here in the 60s. And she was living the good life then, for sure. And then she came back in retirement at 75 years old. She got a couple of goats, and then it's all sort of been growing since then.
And it is raw milk.
It's raw milk cheese.
It's mostly goat, but a little bit of cow in there too.
So sometimes we make a cow's milk cheese in the autumn when the goat's milk goes down. Mum came up with a cheese that's a mixed milk cheese that has, it's part goat's milk and then part Jersey cow's milk.
I'm just looking at your tattoo. You have a beautiful tattoo, which is of a goat's head on your arm.
The tattoo was drawn by my mother. It's a goat named Brownie, and that's our company logo. So,
very good. So at 75 years of age, it was a leap of faith, wasn't it? Did she have experience in the States of this industry?
No, she was a nurse, and she has an incredible intuition. So she had been making cheese and farming goats in Serbia first after leaving the States, and then she came to Ireland with a little bit of background knowledge there. That's the Connacht Trimmer there that you're about to try.
Okay, so what is this now that I'm so that's a raw on milk, a lovely Sheridan's cracker.
So that's a raw milk goat's cheese. And what we do is, so we have some of our own goats, but we bring milk from other farmers. Two farmers, one in Monaghan and one up in Donegal, and both work with us really closely to preserve the integrity of the milk so that it can be for raw milk cheese. And we're making cheese about 5 days a week at the creamery. So raw milk, and then we use our own starter culture. So it's the cheese is cultured with whey from previous batches. So we're getting like a real natural microflora in the cheese. And then just
really
to make
smooth.
It's very smooth. It's usually fluffy, creamy, tangy. And it is also hand ladled, which would be the traditional way once that curd is made, then it's hand ladled into the molds.
Oh, it's absolutely delicious. Right. I'm going to come back to you for a second, Michael. How difficult is it to break into this industry in Ireland?
I get asked that question all the time by smaller cheesemakers that are getting into it. They say to me, Michael, how do I get to your stage now? And I was asking that question, you know, 15 or so years ago. And it really, the thing is gradual. Every year you take on a new customer, like you just have to, you know, kind of learn. And every year you learn something different. I'm still learning, and I think I always will be learning. You know, cheese is just absolutely fascinating world to be in. Even you see this wheel of cheese here, you know, there's molds, yeast and bacteria all growing on the rind. It's completely natural.
What is that? Is that a goat's cheese?
That's the French Tom style cheese I was telling you about. That is like a traditional cheese in France. You know, farmers' wives had a spare bit of milk and they used to turn it into a bit of cheese. It's a simple cheese. I think that's why it's so popular. It melts really well, actually, on pizzas. That's, I think, a big part of it as well. But I'm constantly learning. Like, I'm a cheese nerd. I'm always speaking to cheesemakers across the country and we're always, you know, chatting about rinds and all the different things. So, no, it's just interesting world.
I know you feel like you're at a bit of a crossroads yourself, aren't you? Because you are so much of the business.
Yeah.
You're there full time and you do have support, I know, from your wife and family members. But you're at that point where you're thinking, okay,
I am.
Do I expand here? Do I take on that pressure, maybe that debt, yeah, and make this an even bigger operation?
Yeah, exactly. I suppose like lots of businesses, I've grew. A few years ago, I left the co-op, so all my milk now is being put into the cheese, and I have to make the decision now: is do I go to the next level and, you know, take on full time staff on a more permanent basis? Like, I have part time staff now. My wife, who's a nurse, she helps me a lot. But yeah, listen, at the moment it's tipping along nicely. You know, I'm using all the milk. We're making great cheese. We're focusing on kind of genetics and breeding in the herd now, just to get some kind of improve that. And, you know, yeah, big decisions ahead.
For you, Gypsy, in your own business, I've noticed you've pivoted a couple of different directions too. I see an ice cream on the website.
Yep.
I saw a lovely looking fudge on that website too. So it's a constant evolution, is it?
Yeah, so we see ourselves as a micro creamery that we can take milk in from small farmers that wouldn't have access to the larger sort of big dairy industry, and use that milk to produce multiple types of products. So right now in the summer, it's peak ice cream season. We're doing a big ice cream stand at Mandela Park on Monday, fairly random, but we'll be there. So we make goat's milk ice cream and cow's milk ice cream. We're playing around with some cultured butter right now, some cultured raw milk goat's butter and buttermilk, and then the fudge and the
cake. I don't think I've ever tasted that, actually.
You will.
Look forward to it.
So a few different things and a few different lines that the milk can go into and be celebrated in those different products.
I mean, you mentioned your mum there, right, that she started it. Was it a difficult sell for her to get you involved in the business?
No, my mom sent out an email titled The Emerald Isle about 12 years ago and asked for my siblings who would be interested in participating in the acquisition of some land or a home and for the family in Ireland. And so my brothers didn't reply too urgently, but I picked up the torch and said, I'll come and do this with you, Mom. So she came over.
So you were in the United States.
So I was in Singapore at that time. Well, I was in the States, and then I was overseas in Singapore before coming here. And
she said, come.
She said, come. So yes. Sorry. So Mom came over first, and then myself and my partner and our daughter came about 5 years ago.
And have you settled in to life? I take it you live in the area.
Yeah, I think, you know, we said, you know, we look at what it takes to become to move into a place and be an outsider in a place and feel like joining in. And I think that, you know, it's joining that's important. And it's also our community, our company ethos is about connection. For my mom, it's about connecting to tradition and history. To myself, it's about connecting to land and the farmers around us. And for Rochelle, my partner, it's about connecting to the community and bringing that cheese forward. We have a shop in Carrick-on-Shannon and engaging with the community. So we've folded into life fairly well based on just living by our principles.
I was talking to Gypsy there about expanding the business and moving into different areas. You did that in Sheridan's. I'm here with your lovely crackers and your chutney.
Yeah,
I mean, Dubai.
When we started off, like I said, on a market stall and selling Irish farm cheese, Ireland is a tiny market. Like, it's only a really small population, you know, when you look at it, the size of Birmingham or something. So when there wasn't much demand, you do everything you can to keep the business afloat. And also you start connecting with people, you know, so like you can hear these incredible people here with us today, and there's so many more than the cheesemakers, but there's also other artisan producers as well around the country making this amazing food. So you can't ignore it. So you find some producer of a chutney like that one there, and you start working with them and you start bringing it together, and you discover, I mean, Ireland is so alive with artisan food,
and
with
our palate
creativity
has really developed too, hasn't
it? Yeah, I mean, it was always there in some way. I mean, funny things like that, my own journey, you know, like I remember my dad eating black pudding on a Saturday morning and going, what's that stuff? Oh, that's, you know, and now like we sell fresh blood black puddings. We sell more of it than we do, you know, prosciutto, because it's like we've also taken ownership of our food that was always there and realized how great it is, like our milk and our cheeses and our apples and everything.
And know? Is there still opportunities within this industry?
Hugely.
Is there still
hugely.
Cheeses we don't produce here that
yeah,
we could?
Because like the guys are saying, like, you know, cheesemakers come to me, what should I make? My first answer is always something really good. And if you make something really good, then we will sell it, because we still import a huge amount of food into Ireland in all sorts of areas. And there's massive opportunity. We're way behind in so many areas in terms of development of agriculture. Like, our direct sales from farms to the population is like so small, whereas you go to France and Spain, other countries like that are more developed in this way. There's much more interaction between farms and people. So we've come a long way. We've got a really amazing food culture, brilliant infrastructure, but there's so much more we can do.
Great to hear there's still all of those opportunities and all of that
Absolutely.
Potential out there if
yeah.
we have people like Michael and Gypsy who are willing to move in that direction. Well, thank you all so much for coming in and feeding me this morning. I will be eating even more in the break, and I'm delighted now to take Kevin Sheridan from Sheridan's Cheese, Michael Finnegan from Boyne Valley Cheese, and Gypsy Gifford from Leitrim Hill Creamery. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Let's take
the Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.